This morning on WCHL, early voting gets underway this week, and pollsters say the outcome is still highly unlikely since Americans don't seem to like any of the available options.
Who did I develop a less negative opinion of from this nonstop torrent of negative ads? Because there's nothing positive to vote on.
Chapel Hill Police Sergeant Brian Walker says local businesses have been targeted by a phone scammer claiming to be Duke Power.
The person calls the business and tells whoever answers the phone they're late on payment, and unless they immediately make a...
And plans for the Southern Branch Library in Carmarole are moving along with a projected opening in early 2017. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carmarole traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC managed a last-second score to stun the Yellow Jackets on Saturday. Final score, Carolina over Georgia Tech, 48-43, and...
Believe it or not, Carolina can still win the ACC Coastal Division.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
607 at WCHL. We have 47 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, and it really is a little chilly this morning. 42 degrees, I'm sorry. Patchy frost possible this morning wherever you are. Partly sunny, high today in the upper 60s, and actually a nice day after we get going. Chapel Hill police say a local businesswoman thwarted a potential phone scam last week, but others haven't been so lucky. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Chapel Hill Police Sergeant Brian Walker says local businesses have been the target of a recent phone scam.
Businesses are receiving a telephone call from someone that purports to be from Duke Energy. The way the scam works, the person calls the business and tells whoever answers the phone that they're late on payments and that unless they immediately make a payment, the power will be turned off.
The scammers threatened to cut off electricity within the hour and demand the victims purchase a prepaid money card to transfer payment. Walker says this makes the transaction hard to track once the victim realizes it's a scam. The high-pressure tactics have proven successful, and they've cost some victims hundreds of dollars. In at least one case, the scammers accepted a fraudulent payment, then turned around and asked for more.
Once the person paid $400, they were immediately told, well, we didn't tell you about these other fees. You owe us another $300. So if they get one amount of money out of you, they may try to get more immediately.
Recently, a business owner on Elliott Road got one of these calls. She listened to the scammer's pitch, but hung up and called Duke Energy for confirmation. Walker says if you have doubts, it's important to hang up and call the utility directly to make sure you're talking to a real Duke Energy representative.
The scammers have gotten to the point where they're a little more sophisticated, and they may actually say, if you ask, may I call you back, they may say, absolutely, here's the number, and give you a number that allows them to be ready for your call.
According to Duke Energy's website, customers who are behind on payment will receive multiple notices of delinquency over the course of several weeks, never just a single phone call. The power company has set up a webpage describing some of the recent phone scams and offering tips to thwart them. If you received any suspicious phone calls, you should alert local law enforcement and Duke Energy. You can find out more on this at our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Plans for the Southern Branch Library in Carmarole are moving along with a projected opening in early 2017. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
We're really tremendously excited about this.
That's Carmarole Mayor Lydia Lavelle speaking on behalf of her town government about seeing a timeline for the planned Southern Branch Library location. Lavelle and members of the Carmarole Board of Aldermen met with the Orange County Board of Commissioners Thursday for a joint meeting in Chapel Hill, which began with a discussion of the project. Back in May, the Board of County Commissioners authorized staff to negotiate with Chapel Hill developer Main Street Partners about the Southern Branch Library to be located next to the 300 Main Street project in Carmarole. Now the board will consider a letter of intent agreement with the developer regarding the property on Tuesday. The non-binding agreement sets the groundwork for a contract negotiation. If that goes on schedule, the project moves into the pre-development phase with the town of Carmarole. That's projected to take 8 months. Jeff Thompson, director of asset management services for Orange County, told Carmarole town leaders on Thursday that if that works out,
we will move into actual construction document preparation. And as you can see on your timeline, an opening targeted for April of 2017.
The process moving forward includes closing two current locations at McDougal Middle School and the Cybrary at Century Center and transferring operations, services, and staff. According to the projected timeline, the guaranteed maximum price is set to be agreed upon in November of 2016. Over the past decade, the county and the town of Carrboro have worked together to provide library services to Carrboro residents, with Orange footing most of the bill. On Thursday, Commissioner Earl McKee thanked the town of Carrboro for its annual contributions, valued at $30,000.
What doesn't get mentioned very often is that Carrboro contributes a significant amount of money and also non-monetary contributions toward the Cybrary and the current McDougal Library, and it's appreciated, and I would hope we could continue to collaborate in this fashion.
The Board of Commissioners will take up the matter at its Tuesday meeting at 7 p.m. at the Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 6:12. More news in just a moment.
Stanley Martin Homes is proud to present their new model home open now in Winmore, a classic village of new homes just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Stanley Martin's three home designs, priced from the 370s, combine the best in energy efficiency and beautiful design. And Winmore is right on the UNC bus route. For kids, there's a pool and playground. And Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School are in the walk zone. There's conservation woodland space and walking and jogging trails for the whole family to enjoy. Come visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore or go to stanleymartin.com.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that doubling your homeowner's liability coverage can cost less than $10 a year? Homeowner's liability insurance will not only provide the legal defense costs, but also provide the coverage if you are found liable for an injury on your property. Increasing your homeowner's liability coverage is essential for complete financial protection and may not cost as much as you think. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Football season is back, and at Great Outdoor Provision Company, we've got the gear you need to take your tailgates to the next level. Check out our ultra-tough Yeti coolers guaranteed to make ice shiver, or pick up a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses for those glorious day games. Last but not least, we've got outerwear options from Patagonia, like Cinchilla snap tees and better sweaters to keep you warm as we get deeper into the season. Great Outdoor Provision Company. Like us on Facebook or visit greatoutdoorprovision.com.
If you've been looking for a different healthcare experience, visit Chapel Hill Primary Care. Built on the promise of prompt, compassionate, and personalized care, Chapel Hill Primary Care provides patient-centered preventative medical care and treatment of acute as well as chronic health conditions for adolescents and adults. Located in the beautiful Chapel Hill Doctors Healthcare Center off Weaver Dairy Road, offering free parking, first floor access, no facility fees, an on-site lab, and minimal to no wait time. At Chapel Hill Primary Care, patients really do come first. Visit chapelhillprimarycare.com. Immediate appointments available.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 6:14. Chapel Hill Town Council wants your input on a plan to incentivize affordable housing in the Ephesus Fordham Development District. At tonight's public hearing, the council will take public comment on the rezoning of four parcels of land south of Elliott Road. When council members rezoned the larger Ephesus Fordham District last year, they voted to set aside this land while town staffers crafted a plan to encourage developers to build affordable housing. Under the new zoning proposal, buildings of up to two stories would be automatically allowed, but developers could go as high as five stories if 10% of the housing in the project was designated affordable. The council will also offer preliminary feedback on a plan to build a four-story hotel with underground parking on West Rosemary Street between Church Street and Pritchard Avenue. The meeting begins at 7 o'clock tonight in council chambers at Chapel Hill Town Hall. It's a well-known fact that when it comes to the dating scene, you don't really have to be attractive, you just have to be more attractive than the competition. And as it turns out, that's a measurable biological phenomenon. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
If males view images of really attractive faces, they find a face of average attractiveness less attractive than if they first viewed images of unattractive faces.
That's Susan Lyons, a PhD candidate in biology at UNC. What she's describing is called the contrast effect, and it's not just true for humans. Working with her advisor, biology professor Keith Sockman, Lyons has discovered a similar contrast effect in sparrows. Humans attract each other physically, for the most part, but songbirds like sparrows attract their mates with the quality of their songs, specifically a characteristic known as trill performance.
Trill performance is this measurement of how quickly the syllables of a trill can be produced.
Lyons says sparrows likely react to trill performance because it's an indication of a bird's skill or vigor. Female birds are more attracted to males with higher quality songs. But the operative word there is higher quality, because as Sockman discovered, the level of trill performance can vary from year to year. Some years, the males will sing extremely well, and other years, the pickings are slim.
This would suggest that females in some years, for example, when the song performance levels are low, might not find a mate unless they could adjust the criteria that they use for deciding the song's good enough.
And so Lyons began an experiment to determine, will female sparrows react differently to the same song based solely on the quality of the other songs they hear?
We exposed females to 1 week of either more attractive songs or less attractive songs. And then at the end of the week, we asked the females to assess their attractiveness for a novel song that was of intermediate trill performance.
And as it turns out, Lyons says, the difference makes a difference.
Females that were previously exposed to the low-performance, unattractive songs were more attracted to this intermediate song.
Lyons and Sockman have just published that discovery in the October 15th issue of the journal Biology Letters. It'll also be the first chapter in Lyons' dissertation. They say it's not an unexpected find, actually, given what Sockman observed before, but it is the first time the contrast effect has ever been observed in a performance-based sexual signal. All of which is to say, in the world of sparrows, just as in the world of humans, it's often important to have a wingman. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Oh, wingman, I see what you did there. 6:18 at WCHL, and time now for your traffic and weather together. And traffic is brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Not a lot happening on the road so far this morning. Very little traffic out there right now. But within about a half an hour, that situation will certainly change as things get going on your Monday. And Nikki Morse will be here to look at morning traffic on WCHL. In the meantime, you can call her in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro and let us know if you know of anything that we're not reporting at WCHL. Your Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. 44 degrees, patchy frost this morning, partly sunny, high today, upper 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy with mostly cloudy skies after midnight. A chance of really light rain, probably in the form of sprinkles during the overnight hours. Not as cool with the lows in the upper 40s. And tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with a high in the low 70s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, where you can fuel up every morning with Cruisers Fresh Brew Beans Cafe Coffee, cappuccino, and hot chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go. All right, we're going to turn to WCHL Championship Sports this morning. And, of course, we're going to start with a little football. What a game on Saturday night in Keenan Stadium. When faced with a deficit and a little time remaining on the clock, the UNC offense came up big on Saturday night, snapping a five-game losing streak to Georgia Tech and a four-game losing streak this season. UNC signal caller Marquise Williams' poise under pressure was amazing. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports on the Carolina victory.
Despite the torrid pace of the UNC offense, there was an overlaying sense of calm about the Tar Heels as Williams directed the game-winning drive that ended with a TJ Logan touchdown dive. UNC head coach Larry Fedora says the team works through the two-minute drill every week. It showed against the Yellow Jackets.
I said, as he was going out, I said, we, 307, 3 minutes. He said, we do this every week. It's no big deal. And he's right. I mean, we work 2 minute every week and been doing that since the first day that we got here. And he's comfortable with it. I mean, if you look at our guys in a 2 minute situation, they're not helter skelter. They're just because we go at that pace all the time, so it's just very, very calm for them.
At times Saturday night, Williams's play was beautiful to watch. The junior leader completed 38 of his 47 passes, totaled 390 yards, and threw four touchdowns. During one stretch in the second half, Williams completed 14 consecutive pass attempts, just one shy of the school record. With 3:07 remaining on the Keenan Stadium clock, Williams thrived. He says his only thoughts concerned moving the chains.
This is where the best quarterbacks perform, under pressure. You're down, and nobody expected you to get anything. And I felt like we had three timeouts, 3:07, just move the ball down, don't force anything, check the ball down. As you see, I checked the ball down maybe three or four times, and I knew I just had to move it down, move them out, just keep moving the chains. I know we just needed three to win, and we found a way just to keep executing on the offensive side of football.
Williams has always been known for his explosive dual-threat ability, but the way Coach Fedora was talking about his quarterback following the win over Georgia Tech, it's his role as a game manager that made the difference.
You know, he really did a nice job of checking the ball down. I thought there were times, I mean, he didn't push the ball into any coverages that he shouldn't have. He just checked it down when he should, and I mean, he did a heck of a job tonight, really. I mean, the way he ran the ball, as always, and then the way he threw it tonight.
Williams is none short on confidence. He's made his fair share of mistakes in his Carolina career that began when Bryn Renner went down to injury last season. But Williams says he draws inspiration from a couple NFL greats.
Like I say, that's where the greatest perform. You look at Peyton Manning, they do a two-minute drive, and Tom Brady do a two-minute drive, and hey, I want to be something like that one day in my life, you know. And I felt like, hey, why can't I do it? You know, I look back and times I turned the ball over in certain situations and stuff like this. But, hey, I got the opportunity to come back and redeem myself and do what I need to do.
There's another factor contributing to Williams's fine play the past 2 weeks at Notre Dame, a team that nearly knocked off defending national champion Florida State last week and at home against the Yellow Jackets. The young UNC offensive line is coming together. The addition of John Heck back into the starting lineup after recovering from injury and the maturation of the rest of the guys up front has led to more time for Williams' decision-making and opened up wider rushing lanes for UNC's stable of running backs. Coach Fedora says he likes the progress he sees from the O-line and in turn is delighted with the emergence of a running game.
You're talking 2 weeks in a row that we've had our starting five back there and back up front, you know, with some reps under their belt. So I think they're doing a better job, you know, and then with Marquise being able to run, it's going to open up some things for the running backs also. But those kids ran hard tonight. They did a nice job.
Perhaps Logan going in for the decisive touchdown Saturday night was fitting. It could be a sign of a different Tar Heel squad moving forward into the latter portion of the 2014 schedule, a team armed with an effective rushing attack. Logan ran with a renewed fighting spirit last weekend, running over Jacket defenders while tallying up 77 yards on 14 carries to lead the Tar Heels on the ground. Williams says all the work put in by the O-line is finally being rewarded.
It's been shaky all year. A lot of people talk about we couldn't get a running game or we couldn't get this going, and those guys kept feeling bad about themselves. And now you see the offensive line is unbelievable. You know, all my hats goes off to them every Saturday. Even during the week, you know, they put in a lot of work. They put in extra work, even on Sundays. And after we finish practice on Sundays, you see some guys just out there blocking and just pass protection and stuff. And it's been unbelievable. And I'm so grateful to have those guys. And, you know, if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't be able to do what I do out there.
What's more, despite an unimpressive 3-4 record and 1-2 mark in the ACC, the Tar Heels aren't completely out of the coastal race. Williams and company are heading back to the practice fields this week with tangible success to build on, emboldened by the momentum of an ACC victory. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What a game it was. I'll tell you what, even if you didn't care who won that game, it was highly entertaining and very exciting to watch. Good to see Carolina get back into the win column. Tar Heels are now 3-4 on the season, and good to get that monkey off their back as far as Georgia Tech is concerned. It's awfully hard to beat Georgia Tech every season. More sports coming up in an hour on WCHL. You're waking up with 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. It is 6:25. I'm Ron Stutz.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Kyocera. Intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services. Total document solutions only from Kyocera. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Scientists around the world are now working on ways to beat the Ebola virus. Our CBS News colleague Brandon Scott visited one lab in California. It's part of the Scripps Research Institute Global Virus Network, studying blood samples from Ebola survivors, hoping to find antibodies that might crack Ebola's deadly code. Scott says he's never seen anything like this before, and the scientists tell him neither have they.
We've never seen it in West Africa before. We've never seen an 8,000-person Ebola virus outbreak before.
Erica Ullman-Sapphire has researched Ebola for more than a decade. She says this strain is different, with at least 55 genetic mutations, making it even harder to find a cure.
More after this.
Here at the hospital, the focus is patient health. But as the administrator, my focus is patient information. Medical histories, lab results, millions of documents printed, scanned, and accessed.
With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera Document Solutions helps you capture, distribute, and manage the many documents that matter.
At a hospital, every document is important.
If the document is important, the company is important. Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
If you have Medicare Part D, you could be at the corner of, I'm throwing away money, and I had no idea. Well, Walgreens has your back. Our expert pharmacists make it easy for you to save even more on Medicare Part D prescriptions with copays as low as $0. So swing by Walgreens and talk to our pharmacists to get the most out of Medicare and your money. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
Viruses like Ebola can mutate, says Dr. Ullman-Sapphire.
We need to analyze what those mutations are now. So that is work that we now need to do in weeks to months that would have previously taken us years.
To accomplish their mission faster, says Brandon Scott, and remember, it is a race against time.
This team's mission is to map the virus and find its vulnerabilities, a process that can take months and cost millions.
Ebola victims are waiting but can't possibly help pay, says Dr. Ullman-Sapphire.
Because most of the people that get it are too poor to buy the treatment themselves.
The need is dire, the budgets are stretched, so this lab is reaching out to what the internet calls crowdfunding for more equipment.
Money that they hope can fast-track the search for a cure.
If you want to help, go to theosgoodfile.com and we'll let you know how to go about it. The Osgood File. I'll see you online at Facebook, Twitter, and at theosgoodfile.com. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Tired of taking your car to the dealer for service? Long waits, always being asked to buy parts you don't really need, and expensive. Well, F&F Automotive has you covered. Newly renovated with state-of-the-art equipment, F&F Automotive is an official North Carolina inspection station, and our friendly staff of ASC-certified technicians offer a full service of routine maintenance and advanced repair needs for all makes and models. Fast, friendly, affordable, convenient, and local. Visit fnfauto.com or stop by and see us at 107 West Weaver Street in Carrboro.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system on 97.9 FM WCHL. This is only a test. FM WCHL Chapel Hill is a member of the Emergency Alert System. This concludes this test of the Emergency Alert System.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Dance Design. It's 50% off. $30 towards costume rental available today for only $15. Halloween is right around the corner. Need a costume? Dance Design of Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill has got you covered. Did you know that they have over 700 costumes in stock? Their experienced staff can work with you to find the perfect costume to make your Halloween a smashing success. It's half off from Dance Design, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is ChapelBurrow.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL.
It is 6:30, and time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. And it's a little bit on the nippy side this morning. It is 42 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 41 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. It's going to be partly sunny, high today in the upper 60s. Feels a little cooler than 42, to be honest with you. Partly cloudy this evening and then becoming mostly cloudy overnight. Chance of sprinkles, not as cool. Our overnight low in the upper 40s, a few degrees warmer than it is now. And then on Tuesday, partly sunny with a high in the low 70s. Looking ahead a little bit, Tuesday night, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers and the low in the middle 40s. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny and cooler with a high in the low 60s. Fall has definitely fallen. It is really nice. Carolina Ann's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
He got some help. Three U.S. cargo planes dropped weapons, ammo, and meds, 27 airdrops total, over Kobani. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
They were the first of their kind in Kobani, and the arms and supplies were provided by Kurdish authorities in Iraq to help the Kurdish fighters in Kobani continue to resist ISIS. Turkish authorities now say that country is facilitating the passage of Iraqi Kurdish fighters across its border to Kobani to help defend the town.
The U.S. also carried out 11 airstrikes in the Kobani area. Sky's Stuart Ramsey's been in that city. He found an American there on his own taking on Islamic militants.
Brian Wilson is from Ohio, a veteran of the first Gulf War. He's come to help.
They're outgunned. They're brave fighters. They just need more help. I mean, if they had, you know, better technology, better weapons, they could finish Daesh on their own. I mean, more airstrikes would be very helpful to help clear out some areas.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
632, 43 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Rod Stutz, WCHL. Early voting gets underway this week, and Election Day is only a little more than 2 weeks away. But pollsters say the outcome is still highly uncertain, largely because Americans don't seem to like any of the available options. Tom Jansen is director of public policy polling, a national polling firm based in Raleigh. He spoke last week with WCHL's Aaron Keck.
Are you ready for this election to be done?
Yeah, I mean, right now we truly have about 25 polls running every night. So that is a lot, and we will be glad when it's over.
And just in general, as someone who follows the election, and I know we've talked about this before, and you've been following it closer than anybody else, this is not just a drawn-out election, but also it's been a very negative one as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we were talking about in the office this week is the 2012 election had so many things about it that were funny. I mean, they might have been stupid, but over the course of the campaign, you had fights about Big Bird and fights about Etch-a-Sketches and that kind of thing. And this campaign has really been sort of utterly humorless.
We did have a fan this week in Florida,
yes,
so there was that.
Yes, the fan was the best thing to happen yet this campaign, and we really could have used something like that in North Carolina at some point. But it's been an election. And another thing that, you know, as we start reflecting near the end, if you want to talk about what issues the 2014 election were about in this country, it's hard to really say. It hasn't really been, it has not been about any sort of grand vision for America. It's really just been, you know, people sniping at each other, and it's really, overall, it's just been a joyless election cycle. So I think we will all benefit from it being over, and it may make all of us who live in the political world, we may be happier people a month from now than we are today.
And it really is, and just sort of thinking about that and extrapolating from that, it's really been about two sides, each without a vision, trying to convince us that the other side has an evil vision.
Yeah, that's
almost
absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the average North Carolina voter, especially the undecided, you're really not seeing anything positive about any candidate if you watch TV right now. I mean, I was watching the Panthers last weekend, and every commercial break, it's like there'd be two negative ads against Tillis, one negative ad against Hagan. And when you think about people on the fence trying to figure it out, really the only way you could possibly decide is, well, who who did I develop a less negative opinion of from this nonstop torrent of negative ads? Because there's nothing positive to vote on.
So that's what's been going on, and we've been seeing it in North Carolina, obviously, and around the country, too. Public Policy Polling did a couple of surveys of Idaho and Kansas this past week, and these are two states that we would think of generally as being very conservative, and I think Idaho in particular. And this year, both of them have high-profile races, which for a variety of reasons are very close, or appear to be, at least at this point. What is going on in Idaho and Kansas?
Well, I think what is sort of fascinating about Idaho and Kansas is that it's indicative of the fact that even though overall it's a good year for Republicans and those are Republican states, voters are so unhappy with their politicians that you have situations in those two states where voters are contemplating dumping their incumbent governors in both states. They're contemplating dumping their incumbent senator in Kansas. And that, you know, even though at the congressional level and the legislative level, most people are just going to get reelected, even though voters are unhappy because the districts are so either heavily Democratic or heavily Republican, these governor's races are helping to show really how strong that anti-incumbent mood is and how, in a lot of places, voters being so unhappy with the status quo is outweighing even their normal partisan affiliations. Nevertheless, it's starting to look more and more like those in those states, like partisanship is going to win out in the end. In Kansas, the Republican incumbent Sam Brownback has been down in the polls all year for governor, but this poll we found him tied and things moving in his direction. And then in Idaho, the Republican governor Butch Otter, one of the most interesting names for a governor in the country anyway, is unpopular as well. But we're starting to see their Republicans come back around as well. So it's going to be interesting to see when we actually get to Election Day if any of these Democrats who have been polling surprisingly well in red states actually end up winning, and if any Republicans who have been polling surprisingly well in blue states end up winning. For instance, there have been a lot of polls showing Republicans leading the governor's races in states like Illinois and Massachusetts and Connecticut that are pretty reliably Democratic. But those places are starting to sort of fall more into line with how the states usually vote, too. So it could be that at the end of the day, things generally just go how you would usually expect them to.
Now, I know we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, Director of Public Policy Polling. I know, Tom, as you're doing surveys of races statewide and national, you're also surveying people about opinions on issues as well. And I was wondering if you have a sense of, you know, voters don't really seem to like the incumbent. They don't like the alternatives that are being presented to them on the ballot. But is there anything is there any sense that you're getting that there's something that people do want if there was a candidate or a movement that came forward and said, here's our platform? Is there any platform out there that can be presented that voters want to see?
Well, it's interesting. Voters, I think, really have voters more so than the politicians themselves have a mix of views that are sort of liberal on some issues and conservative on others. For instance, I think the best issue for Republicans, even though it's become less of a thing towards the end, has been overall unhappiness with Obamacare. I think voters would support an alternative to that. At the same time, voters do support Medicaid expansion. They do support increasing the minimum wage. But you don't have any candidates, for the most part, who combine that mix of views, that sort of more eclectic, taking positions that in some stances, in some instances, are more sort of Democratic positions, and then other positions that are sort of more Republican positions. You just really don't see anywhere out there doing that, and that's how we get to be so polarized.
That is Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck last week. You can hear more comments from Jensen on our website, chapelboro.com. In news around town this morning, Solarize Chapel Hill will host a solar information session on Monday next week at Haynes Auditorium at Chapel Hill High School, Solarize Chapel Hill is a nonprofit organization that focuses on ways to make going solar easy and affordable. After signing up for the program, members are eligible for a group discount and receive a free home solar assessment. More than 300 people have signed up to participate in the recent campaign. And the Chapel Hill Carborough Meals on Wheels program, as well as the Wake and Durham Meals on Wheels, will be at the Triangle Area Charity Golf Tournament next Monday, 1 week from today. That event will begin at 9 o'clock in the morning and will be held at 12 Oaks Golf Course in Holly Springs. WCHO News Time, 6:40. Today's commentary from David Swartz. He says some Chapel Hill neighborhoods are coming together. That is on the way, and that'll be followed by Inside Carolina Football on WCHO.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
It is 44 degrees, 642 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is David Schwartz. A local realtor writes yet another editorial calling on us to make it easier for new real estate projects to get approved. A young town council member returns from a trip sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and encourages us to build more meeting spaces. The town manager recommends that the taxpayers subsidize road construction for a large new apartment building on Elliott Road. A local real estate developer asserts that adding 1,000 new residents to the town's population at Obie Creek will not cause our taxes to increase when it almost certainly will. What's happening here? Well, here's one way to think about it. The distinguished NYU sociologist Harvey Mollich long ago introduced the idea that in America, local political power often rests with those who profit from intensifying land uses, including large property owners, developers, realtors, mortgage lenders, and so on. The most typical way of intensifying land use is through growth, and this growth usually takes the form of constantly increasing population in a given area. Sociologists therefore refer to the local commercial and political actors who promote growth as a growth coalition, and to the local governmental activities that facilitate and encourage growth, such as rezoning for higher density or building new road and sewer infrastructure, as a growth machine. The Growth Coalition employs a well-crafted set of rationales to justify their actions to the general public. They'll typically claim that growth brings community benefits, such as higher tax revenues, increased employment and shopping opportunities, or affordable housing. And sometimes these benefits do materialize. Often, they do not. But growth usually does lower the quality of life for existing residents by increasing congestion, degrading the local environment, and causing taxes to increase. Because growth produces these undesirable effects, the natural adversaries of the growth machine are neighborhood residents who seek to preserve the quality of life they currently enjoy, environmentalists who seek to protect the ecological health and scenic beauty of the local landscape, and social justice advocates who object to policies that take from the many to benefit the few. The Growth Coalition, which is well-organized and well-funded, is usually able to overcome efforts to slow growth or to redirect it in more beneficial ways, but not always. Sometimes those who advocate stability manage to prevail, at least for a while. In fact, progressive university towns such as Santa Cruz, Madison, and Ann Arbor are among the communities that have been most successful at obtaining community benefits in exchange for allowing growth, such as affordable housing, parks, and support for schools. Chapel Hill used to be one of them, which is why our town still remains such a nice place to live and visit. But all that now feels at risk. The local growth machine is on full throttle, and our elected officials, instead of balancing the broader community's wishes against those of the Growth Coalition, seem to have embraced the pro-growth agenda and to have lowered their standards for what kind of community benefits we should expect new development to deliver. But help is on the way. The neighborhoods of Chapel Hill, who previously worked in isolation from one another, are uniting and are mobilizing to protect the quality of life that we all cherish. Will they succeed before it's too late? Stay tuned. This is David Schwartz.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Inside Carolina Football with Larry Fedora is brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
With a 48-43 win over Georgia Tech Saturday night, Carolina snapped a couple of losing streaks, a five-game skid to Tech, and a four-game slide on the 2014 season. A big reason why was quarterback Marquise Williams, who threw for 390 yards on a school-record 38 completions in the win, rushed for 73 more yards, and accounted for five touchdowns. Here's head coach Larry Fedora about his quarterback after the game.
All night, he really did a really nice job of taking the ball where it was supposed to go. He took what they gave us. He didn't try to force it. Really did a nice job of checking the ball down when he needed to. And so he, you know, therefore, I mean, that's why we moved the chains the way we did. He did a great job of that.
My name is Mandy, and my husband Brian was killed by a drunk driver when our son Carson was just 5 months old. In an instant, I became a 26-year-old widow with a new baby to raise on my own. That was over 10 years ago, and Carson has grown into a handsome boy with the same blonde hair and love for sports his daddy had. But he will always have a void that can never be filled. Carson has cried himself to sleep countless nights, missing the daddy he never knew. If your plans include alcohol, please include a non-drinking designated driver. Don't you think every child deserves to grow up with their dad?
We all need people who will be there for us in life, especially when things get tough. People who say, we're with you no matter what. At Wells Fargo, we're with you now, at a time when you might have more financial questions than answers, and when it's time to rethink just about everything you do. So whether it's trying to figure out if it's a good time to buy a house, if you need to create a budget, or if you just need to get a handle on your expenses, Wells Fargo is with you. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Carolina was 10 of 15 on third down against the Yellow Jackets, making the Heels 19 of 32 in the last 2 weeks in that category. Why have the Heels had so much third down success lately?
We've stayed out of too many third longs. We did a much better job of running the ball in the last 2 weeks. Therefore, we were in more third and mediums and probably third and shorts than we had been in the past.
Inside Carolina Football with Larry Fedora has been brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
6:47 at WCHL's Front Suts, and coming up, we're going to check in with Nikki Morse and get the latest in morning traffic on WCHL.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's clear to us that buyers benefit from having their own agent, whether a first-time buyer or someone who has done it numerous times. Agents at Franklin Street bring an uncommon body of knowledge and experience to the table.
Finding the right home can be easy or it can be torturous. Getting from contract to actually owning requires tenacity and a clear head. Emotions can run really high during the process on both sides.
People can get really uptight about money, and in our market, we're talking a lot of it. 1 or 2% of the price can be thousands of dollars. We are really good at keeping the numbers in perspective, and negotiating the purchase price is probably the easiest part of the whole thing.
No kidding. Due diligence, inspections and repairs, low appraisals and other loan problems, and the resultant delays in closing. Did we mention that emotions on both sides can make these issues seem insurmountable?
That's why we're here. Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Find us on the web at franklinstreetrealty.com or on the phone at 929-7174.
It's Shred-a-thon 2014. Orange County Solid Waste Management will sponsor two free Shred-a-thons where Orange County residents and businesses can destroy their personal documents at no cost. Thursday, October 23rd is at University Mall in Chapel Hill with a park and walk-up service. Saturday, October 25th is at Hampton Point in Hillsborough with a drive-through service. Both events are from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. There's a limit of five boxes or bags per person in and just one trip per household. Come on October 23rd and 25th for the Fall Shred-a-thons. Call 919-968-2788 for details.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
All right, 6:49 at WCHL. Time now to take a look at traffic and weather together. And we'll start with traffic, which is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Ladies and gentlemen, Mickey Morse.
Oh, gosh, I love that kind of introduction. Will I get it every day?
Well, maybe not every day. Don't count on it.
Oh. May you have to rethink this.
I have to generate my enthusiasm somehow, but I can't do it on a regular basis.
All right. Well, next time I'll wear makeup.
But I am glad to see you.
Oh, thank you. Well, the roads are just starting to come alive this morning, Ron. So far, no problems out there. In Chapel Hill, if you're heading out on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard as you approach I-40 or even Highway 54 East heading to the 40 interchange, once you access 40 eastbound, traffic still in the building stages from 15501 to the Durham Freeway. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro, and of course, making sure that you do it safely.
Yeah, please do that. Yeah, we wouldn't want it on our conscience that you didn't do that. Yeah,
I don't need extra things to report on.
No, I know. No news is good news, basically.
Absolutely.
Nikki, thank you so much.
Sure.
And I am really enthusiastic about your being here.
Woohoo!
And I think you can count on that every day.
Absolutely. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. We'll talk to you in a few minutes here. And the Carolina Inn, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes 4-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. So if you haven't been there already, go check it out. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. It is 43 degrees, partly sunny, high today in the upper 60s, about 68 degrees. Tonight we're looking at partly cloudy skies and a chance of light rain overnight. Not as cool overnight, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the low 70s. So really chilly weather. It is definitely fall, folks. Now, time for celebrity birthdays. Hi, WCHL. Got a whole bunch of those to report to you this morning. Tom Petty, 64 years old today. Still running down a dream after all this time. 64 years old today. Melanie Mayron, the actress, 62. Remember her from 30-something? 62 years old today. Retired Major League Baseball All-Star Keith Hernandez, 61. Former Labor Secretary Hilda Solis, 57. Actor Viggo Mortensen, 56. And rapper Snoop Lion. That would be Snoop Dogg. Oh, boy. 43 years old today. And actor John Krasinski, 35 years old today. Got a whole bunch of local celebrities celebrating birthdays today, and that would include Nancy Lynn Festi, Matt Reck, Jonathan James, James Farrington Jr., Sakazi Mitwanga, Richard Chady, Curtis Paul Gay, who lives in Durham, has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Curtis. And our birthday winner of the day is Mike White. Mike White's going to get a $10 gift certificate to the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont. They love taking care of their customers. Happy birthday, Mike White, from all of us here at WCHL. WCHL, time now for trivia. Ladies and gentlemen, Freddie Kiger.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's nice to be back. It's nice to see you.
One of the most talented trivia meisters I know.
Since I'm the only one.
Yeah, that's true. But you are talented.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And
would you
even
call me maybe the beautiful and vivacious?
Yeah, sure. That fits.
Thank you.
Inquisitive minds want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. You could do trivia for the National Enquirer, I guess.
I could.
You could, but
you know what? We could take this act on the road.
Yeah.
You're looking for something to spice up your dinner party?
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Freddie and I will come and well,
just feed us.
I'll be Freddie's straight man.
No, just feed us. Just feed us, and I mean we'll lighten up the evening.
All
right, park cars. Help clear the table.
Yeah. Absolutely. Give us some food and drink, and we'll be happy.
Exactly.
Well,
today we got a history question.
Oh.
Yep. It's a history question.
Abigail Beecher, my history teacher.
That's good you remember her.
Yeah.
I always think it's important to remember your teachers' names.
It's important to remember Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah. Down in Palisade Park.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I thought of that.
That's all right. But today we're doing a category, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, yeah. Serious
time. That scared
time.
The mess out of all of us who were around.
It did.
52 years ago, right now, the United States was involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was a very scary time. Here's our question.
Okay.
The crisis was diffused with the Soviet Union by a U.S. offer to remove nuclear missiles from what country? The Cuban Missile Crisis was diffused with the Soviet Union by a U.S. offer to remove nuclear missiles from what country?
Well, I know you pronounce nuclear correctly, but I'm not sure if I remember the name of the answer to the question. So 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answer to the question. We'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers.
Which is kind of an unusual Cruisers talking about missiles today.
Yeah, that's right.
Cruiser missile. But you know what? With this Cruiser, you're good to go.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Deborah Brooks is today's WCHL hometown hero, and Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich is with us on the line now. And Penny, why is Deborah so deserving of such special recognition?
Well, Ron, Deborah's been with the Register of Deeds office for 38 years, which is quite amazing, and I know it's something you can relate to, Ron. Waking up and going to the same place for 38 years in a row.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing.
Sometimes it's tough to do that. But she has been the Register of Deeds, the boss there, a little while as well, and now she's about to step down, but she certainly has done well in that job.
You know, Ron, she has. She's been the Register of Deeds for the past 4 years. Prior to that, she was the Assistant Register of Deeds, and she did that job for about 12 years, Ron, but Deborah's done every job. She started out as Deputy Number 1, as they call it. She moved to Deputy 2, and then, of course, Deputy Register of Deeds Number 3, and then she moved into that assistance position. She has filled every office in that office, in the Register of Deeds office, for 38 years. Just a wonderful, wonderful woman, a wonderful staff person, a wonderful leader. And not only is she a hometown hero, Ron, she is a homegrown hero. Born and raised in Orange County, gone through the Orange County schools. And she never left. She stayed here and dedicated her service to Orange County.
Well, certainly Mark Chilton about to take over as Register of Deeds in Orange County, but Deborah Brooks has presided over what I would call a tumultuous time there with all the different issues, particularly the gay marriage issue. And we certainly want to thank her for all her community service for all these years and making sure that things are done right in Orange County.
She has, and not only going into the times now, she's helped move that office twice. So she's not been home in the same place for 38 years. She has had three different offices, and I encourage anyone to go over to the Register of Deeds office. There's just such wonderful historical records there, and that is really the main job of the Register of Deeds, is to watch over those records and make sure they're maintained in accordance with the state law. So I know that Register of Deeds is a little bit tumultuous this past couple of weeks, but I also know that Deborah's heart was in the right place and her pen was sharpened and she was ready to go.
She really was. Hats off to Deborah Brooks for 38 years in the Orange County Register of Deeds office. She is today's WCHL hometown hero, and thank you to Penny Rich.
Okay, Ron, have a great day.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Good morning. It is 6:58 at WCHL. Well, the United States removed missiles from what country, Freddie, to stop the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Well, to help defuse it, from Turkey.
Yeah.
Many of those missiles, although they were nuclear, were outdated. They were antiquated. Mm. But it was one thing that Khrushchev and the Soviet Union could have, if you will, as a face-saving gesture to try to defuse all this thing, because there were some hardliners in the Soviet Union, as we had hardliners, who were ready to push this thing to the very, very edge, as it was already. But the result of those 13 to 14 days was the removal of Soviet missiles from Cuba, withdrawal of U.S. missiles from Turkey, agreement that the United States would not invade Cuba without direct provocation, and the creation of the hotline?
Well, I'll tell you what, Turkey, the correct answer this morning, and David Rankin called in with the answer to the question this morning, and I'm glad you called in, David. Thank you very much. Congratulations. David's going to get a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers, and you are always good to go. Quick look at your Chapel Hill cover of weather. It's going to be partly sunny today, high today in the upper 60s. About 68 ought to be our high. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and a slight chance of sprinkles overnight. Not as cool with a low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny skies with the highs in the low 70s. So definitely cool this morning. It's 7 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. They got the all clear a few hours ago. Dozens of people who came in contact with Thomas Duncan, the Ebola victim who died in Dallas, passed the incubation period and are free to get on with their lives. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
When the clock struck midnight, the 21-day ordeal was over for several dozen people on the quarantine list. This includes the fiancé and son of Thomas Duncan, the Liberian man who died here of Ebola 12 days ago. Even though the quarantine has ended, many fear they will face a stigma. Duncan's fiance may already be facing that. She is having difficulty finding a new apartment.
I'm Vicki Barker reporting live. The CDC poised to announce new and stricter guidelines for healthcare workers treating Ebola patients. They're expected to call for full body suits and hoods that protect workers' necks, as well as frequent practice drills getting in and out of those suits safely. Co-workers will also be told to check each other as they enter or leave a quarantined area. This as the Pentagon moves to form a 30-person support squad to help civilian medical teams cope with any Ebola outbreaks. Frank?
The World Health Organization has declared that Nigeria is free of Ebola, but that disease is still on the rampage in Liberia, where President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has issued a letter to the world pleading for help. U.S. warplanes have started airdropping light arms and other vital supplies to Kurds defending Kobani, a key city in northern Syria that's in danger of falling to ISIS terrorists. Sky News correspondent Stuart Ramsey has the latest from Erbil, northern Iraq.
27 separate drops, we understand, or bundles, small arms, ammunition and medical supplies, and certainly they need them. They've been fighting for weeks now, and how they've held out is remarkable in itself.
An Associated Press investigation found that dozens of suspected Nazi war criminals were able to collect millions of dollars from Social Security. Reporter David Rising says the government used the money as leverage to get the suspects to leave the country.
This way, they can make a settlement agreement with these people. Say, hey, listen, you know, if you just go ahead and voluntarily leave, then you get to keep your benefits.
Police in Columbus, Ohio, have surrounded a home where a man who claims he has a gun is holed up with five children. The man told police he'll shoot them if they try to come in. IBM is paying $1.5 billion to a company that's willing to take Big Blue's computer chip business off its hands. CNET senior writer Stephen Shanklin tells us the deal with Global Foundries shows how desperate IBM is to get rid of semiconductors.
It's a very, very hard business to be in. Over the last couple of decades, there have been fewer and fewer companies that have the stomach to play.
In St. Louis, a scuffle broke out after yesterday's Rams game between fans and people protesting the fatal police shooting in Ferguson, Missouri.